Hello and welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Vicki Newton. This is the season cash registers are ringing, tallying your purchases, and you think Santa and his elves are busy. Well, how about banks? Joining us now to talk about depositing your green in a Black-owned bank is the president of the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce, Ron Busby. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, and happy holidays to you as well as all your listeners.
Thank you so much. The USBC is partnering with Black banks all around the country. Tell us about this effort and why it's so important.
Well, thank you. And as you stated earlier, this is a time of shopping for so many Americans, not just African Americans, but as a culture and as a country, we spend a great deal of our income during the months of November and December sharing gifts and presents. But for so many African Americans, we get caught up in a false sense of security based upon the gifts that we're purchasing and the presents that are under the tree. And so for us, we've really determined that we need to be able to really be about investing not only in our own families and communities, but also in the banks that have supported us historically. And so The U.S. Black Chamber, along with 13 other black organizations, have really come up with three primary goals to improve the economies for our own communities. And one of those three being home ownership. We really believe that many blacks have lost their wealth because so much of it was tied to our real estate, our homes. And when the mortgages industry collapsed, most of our wealth also collapsed with that. Secondly, is we want to increase the number of black-owned businesses from our current 2 million to 4 million by the year 2020. And the third one, which we'll talk hopefully about this afternoon, is black banks. We want to increase the deposits and the depositors of black banks. Historically, black banks have been where we have gone as African Americans to get our mortgages, to get our business loans, and to be able to pay for our futures. And so for us, we're making an assertive effort to make sure that blacks, not just this year, but the next future, is investing in black banks. We have a group of young men we call our Black Male Entrepreneurs Institute, where they're going through tutorial classes, mentoring, along with other successful black businesses to give them the resources, the relationships, as well as the skills to be able to improve their own businesses, to be able to grow and expand. And as I was speaking to this group of young men, one of the young men heard me speak at a conference, and he said, you know, I think I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to go to one of our banks, black banks here locally in Washington, D.C., and make a deposit. And I said, no, that sounds good, but I want all of the young men to go and make a deposit into the black bank to really make a statement. And it has really taken off around the Washington, D.C. area, as well as getting a lot of looks and input and enthusiasm to other African Americans around the country. And
okay, so
we're
saying, let me interrupt you right there. So you mentioned to one of the young entrepreneurs in the program that you guys started to cultivate black men and encourage their growth and their businesses' growth, hey, why don't you deposit your money in a bank that's owned by some African Americans? And he did. And organically it took off from that point?
Well, a little bit of that, yes. He was saying that he was going to do it individually.
Right.
And I recommended that as a group, of this cohort, there are 20 young men, these young men all being under the age of 40 that have businesses. I said, let's do it collectively as a group. And so collectively, they all participated, and they all went down together and opened up bank.
All of them
black bank.
Descended yes. on a black bank and put their green in it. Tell me about
yes,
that.
Ma'am.
What was that like?
It was a very monumental experience for not just them as black men. Many of them didn't know that there was a black bank in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
It was also very moving for the black bank itself because they saw the commitment that these young men were making in their community. And then more importantly, I think it sent a message to other young men and women around the Washington, D.C. and now around the country that if they can do it, then we can do it. And that is not a big asked. We're saying we're not asking you to take your money out of Wells Fargo or Bank of America or any other local bank, but I think all of us should have some portion of our own monies invested in the banks that have invested in our communities. And as we speak today, there are 22 black banks left in America. At one time, we had close to 50 black banks, and historically, those banks have been very instrumental in making sure that our communities have been sustainable. And so often, we look to other communities and to outside support when we need to make sure that we're supporting the organizations and institutions that have been here historically to ensure that we will have a future.
You know, it just sounds so simple, so easy. Go down to the bank that's owned by people who look like you and put your green in it. What is most often the reason you hear from African Americans who are not supporting black-owned businesses?
Well, there's a combination of things. Many of them just don't know where they are. So I think it's more about showcasing the black businesses, the black institutions that we do have. And that's part of our initiative to make sure that we know where we exist. And then the other part is I think there's that still myth of, and I hate to say this to any of your listeners, but that white people's ice is colder than our ice. I tell the story often about my great-grandfather who used to deliver ice on an ice truck. This was before there was refrigeration, and so the myth goes that white people's ice was colder than black people's ice. And so that's the reason that we go to white people for our products and or services, because of the myth that their products and services are better. The story goes that as my grandfather would deliver ice, he would deliver ice on a non-refrigerated truck. If you remember back in the day before there was refrigeration, we would get a block of ice delivered to our home, and many times that block of ice would last you roughly 7 days.
Okay.
So my grandfather would take the ice to his white clients first thing Saturday morning, and their ice would usually last 7 days, and he'd have to come back and deliver another block. By the time he got to his white clients later on Saturday evening, that ice would
to his black clients
have melted down, had been chipped away, and that ice would last 5.5 days. And so the myth goes that white people's ice was colder. There was some truth to that. But I tell my grandfather, whose name is Daddy Ray, I say, well, you know, Daddy Ray, because of a black man, we now have refrigeration. And because of that refrigeration, we have ice makers. And now, because of that same black man, I can get filter ice, I can get my ice cubed, or I can get my ice crushed. We need to make sure that our community knows that no one has any colder ice than black people's ice. Our products, our services are all equal, if not superior, to anyone else's ice in America. And as we see our products and services in that vein, I think people will support not just black banks, but black businesses and black institutions around the country.
As we look toward 2016, if you could ask every African American to make a New Year's resolution as it relates to supporting black-owned businesses, what would that be?
Well, for a couple of things I think we can do as communities and just as individuals. And the first one is to make sure that we're increasing our spending and support of one another. If you look at the number one concern that we have as a community around the country, it's unemployment. We have close to 2 million African Americans that are unemployed today around the country. In 2016, we'll have more than 2 million unemployed African Americans. But the good news is there's also 2 million owned black-owned businesses. And so if we can grow those black businesses to be able to increase their revenue, we will then hold them accountable to hire one additional new employee. Simple math says if there's 2 million black businesses and there's 2 million unemployed black people, if each one of those businesses can grow, they can hire one additional employee and we won't have an unemployment conversation in our community. Secondly, I say the reason that that's also important is because the average African American spends less than 3% of their net income with other black businesses. if we can increase that from 3% to 10%, just an additional 7%, we would be mandated in this country to be able to employ 1 million new people. That's not white, not black. That's just a million new people would come off the unemployment conversation. And that's a simple deduction of us just spending our money in my communities. I hear it all the time about, well, you know, I would, but I don't know, or there's various reasons. I had a bad experience with a business owner that happened to be black. And I say, all that's true, and I'm not trying to deny that there are some businesses that are better than others. But I say two things. One, in the Asian community, irregardless of how their businesses are doing or not doing, their dollar stays in their community 28 days. In the Hispanic community, their dollar stays in their community 21 days. In our community, our dollar leaves within 6 hours. And so we don't look many times internally to resolve our own issues. And as we do that, we'll be more responsible and accountable to each other. My second story is I'm a new recent homeowner. I just purchased a new home here within the last few months. I used a black bank to finance the home. I use a black title company. I use a black moving company. I use a black home inspector. I use a black pest inspector. Everyone that touched the transaction was a black business. And I'm proud to say and very pleased to say that the service and or products that they delivered were superior to anything that I had imagined, but I also paid them exactly what they were looking for.
Uh-huh.
We in the community are so often trying to beat the price down.
You didn't ask for the hookup, a hookup on it.
I didn't ask for the hookup.
Yes.
I want to make sure that we are having businesses that have profits so that they can be sustainable, so that they can hire, and we can continue to move our communities forward.
So last question, and I don't want to put you on the spot here, but specifically, what do you want? One thing, if you could get this one thing done in our community as a resolution, what do you say? By spend $50 a month at a black-owned business? I mean, give us a call to action.
My call to action would be to increase everyone's spending, not by a certain dollar amount, but by a percentage.
Okay.
Find out what your net income is. And know that currently we're spending 3%. So out of all the dollars that we get, we spend 3% of those with black firms. Try new black firms once a week, once a month. But we have to increase our spending with other black businesses. If you find one that's good, tell somebody about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you find one that's bad, tell them about it.
Mm-hmm.
And challenge them. Support that business and say, hey, I had a bad experience on this region, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come back next week, next month, next time I have to do this product and or service, and if you improve that particular situation, I will then bring back another black supporter, customer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we will continue to increase our spend and improve our own communities. And the last thing, join your local black chamber. They're there for you to be able to find out where our resources are, where the relationships are, where the businesses are that we can support. And at the end of the day, I will say this, in order for there to be a strong America, you got to have strong black businesses. You need a strong black America. And the only way you're going to have a strong black America is by having strong black businesses, because we support you. Our black banks are the ones, 70% of their loans are made to black businesses and to black individuals. Put some money there so that we can continue to improve our own communities. And lastly, let's get away from the myth that white folk businesses, white folk ice is colder than our ice.
That
our ice is as cold as any ice in the world.
That
and
is
when
the
we
bottom
start seeing
line.
Ourselves that way, everyone else will start seeing ourselves in that same vein.
Ron Busby, the president of the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce, thank you so much for joining us. Happy holidays to you, and we'll be right back.
Happy holidays to you as well.
You're listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show.